Hello and welcome to the Hophead Hardware Homebrewing Podcast. This is Kevin Spaulding coming at you from Chattanooga, Tennessee. We're here to talk about homebrewing and craft beer. You can expect a little rambling and a song or two. You can always visit us at hopheadhardware.com for informative posts, recipes, beer news, and more. While you're at the website, make sure you bookmark the podcast tab. That's where you will find links that I may reference during episodes. What's going on, everyone? I've been a little under the weather, so hopefully my voice holds out for this. But this should be the last episode on my current microphone, and the new one is out for delivery. Or not out for delivery, but being shipped. It should be here before the next episode. I'll be switching over to Audition for editing as well, so maybe the production value will get a little better. But enough about that. You know, fall is right around the corner, and my mind has been on porters lately. Thinking about brewing one up here soon, and it won't be the next beer, but definitely within the next three batches. One of them will probably be a porter. Porter is a really misunderstood style. It's an English style, for starter. But commercial breweries are just not representing the style very well, in my opinion. What they're putting out is often too weak on flavor and heavy on body. And thin stouts aren't helping, either. The line's blurred in between porter and stout. And, you know, they're not very far apart, but I think commercial breweries should do a better job of separating them. Because there are differences. What are those differences? To get into that, you would really have to dive into the history of the styles, and you know that would be a whole other episode or three. That's some deep history. There's a lot to it. I'll brush over the differences, though. Have you heard the old saying that not all whiskeys are bourbon, but all bourbons are whiskey? Well, all stouts are a porter, but not all porters are a stout. That's what history will tell you. That statement's not true anymore, sadly. It should be. A proper porter should have a thinner mouthfeel than a proper stout. Porters are medium to full-bodied, just not up to that stout level of, you know, fullness. They also have a refreshing quality about them that a stout doesn't have. You know, a stout's more robust and filling. I wouldn't think of it as a refreshing beer. The roastiness is more subdued in a porter than it is in a stout as well. It's there and it's noticeable, but a proper stout's going to have a nice roast level that a porter won't have when done right. Flavor differences between a stout and a porter really only show up in strength, but not composition. It's safe to think of a porter as a light stout. You got to keep in mind, though, that I'm not talking about alcohol level or color, just flavor and mouthfeel. That's enough on the differences between the two styles for now, but that's definitely going to be a topic for another episode or two, because I could talk about that for a long time. Before we move on to some nice commercial examples of porters and into what a porter should be, let's listen to a song called Give Me a Beer by Sea Monster.
Sea Monster.
Right, this first song is called Give Me a Beer.
Just give me a beer.
calientes. The Nero never ever would have let Rome burn. If somebody out there had done a good turn, disaster, delusion, don't shed no tears. When the body is down, just give him a beer. This one's called Standing on the End of the Line.
The first time I heard that song, I thought it had a British punk feel to it, and I thought it would be appropriate for this episode, since the porter has its English roots. You know, even though there are a lot of bad examples out there of porters, there's some good ones too. I'm not bringing up some nice beers from obscure breweries that you just can't get your hands on, but if you want to taste a well-made porter, you can try to get your hands on Founder's Porter. It's really well done. The Sierra Nevada Porter is, and most people will tell you that it's almost perfect. And the Anchor Porter out of San Francisco is really, really nice as well. They're done right. An American Porter, we're going to talk about American Porters now because most of the audience are Americans, and that's what we're gonna find in our market is an American porter. The gravities range from 1050 to 1070. That's a little higher than the English counterpart, and that's a wide range for a style. Most styles don't have a range, you know, or a gap that wide. You're shooting for 25 to 50 IBUs, and that'll kind of scale. You know, your 25 IBU is going to be closer to your 1050 porter, where your 1070 porter is going to hit that 50 IBU range. Sorry. And they scale accordingly. If you have a 25 IBU porter that's sitting at 1070 original gravity, that thing ferments down. It's going to be sweet. On the other side, if you had a 1050 porter sitting at 50 IBUs, that thing's going to be a little too bitter, and it's not, and that bitterness is going to cover up some of the qualities that the porter should have. That big range is probably one big reason that the porters and stouts blend together so much, because the lower end of the stout crosses into the upper end of porters and their specifications, if that makes sense. I hope it does. You know, grain bills can be very complex or very simple. I mean, I know this sounds really vague, but that's porter. It's a wide open style. You can use two row or Maris Otter. Both make a great base malt. I would probably prefer the Maris Otter, but I'm not willing to pay for Maris Otter over a two row. I don't think that the flavor differences are significant enough to cover the cost difference, because two row is just dirt cheap. Maris Otter's a little pricier. You're going to want to use some dark malts as well. Don't go too heavy on crystal malts. I like to keep those under 10%. Crystal malts get a really caramelly, just cloying sweetness to them if they're overused. I think a lot of home brewers, they struggle with odd tasting beers because they use too much crystal malt. Usually it's trying to, you know, achieve color. And crystal malt's an easy way to do that, but there's flavor compromises there. For a hop selection, it's really not that important. You don't want to throw anything really citrusy, you know, like a Cascade or Centennial is not going to go well in a porter, especially late, or especially as a late hop addition. Now, Simcoe Mosaic, that's just, forget it. Unless you just want to do something fun and weird. And I'm not saying you can't use those citrusy, fruity, you know, more extreme American hops in a porter, but that's we're homebrewers. That's what we do. We experiment. We make funky, fun flavors. But if you want to do a proper porter, avoid those. You know, your East Kent Goldings, things like that are going to be, they're going to suit a porter really well. Williamette's a good one. You'll want a clean ale yeast. US05 works great, and its liquid counterparts that, you know, all the yeast manufacturers offer now. Just any really clean ale yeast. I've heard Nottingham works really well. It's a little fruitier, but not too much. So you could get away with Nottingham as well. And you could probably get a really nice fermentation out of Nottingham. And once again, keep in mind that I'm talking about an American porter here. So feel free to change it up and experiment. We're just talking about brewing a proper porter. I'll give you a simple recipe after we listen to a song called American English by the Canoes.
Well, don't go over using commas. Teacher tells me that's bad form. When I get home, I think of mama sliding off the road in a storm. Well, up those school pumps, loose those swim trunks, take me to the lake. Yeah, your legs, my hands, your hands, we chose first mistake. Oh, Sally, don't feel so sad. Well, Daddy hasn't always been swimming in a river gym. He used to look pretty trim till Mom left me being. These things got grim. Well, he got lost and he got hurt and he takes it out on you. Yeah, he got lost and he got hurt and he doesn't know what to do with you. Oh, Danny, don't feel so sad. American English. We speak American English. Yeah, 20,000 words in the same shit. Freedom's all you gotta put up with. We speak American English. We speak American English. Yeah, and fuck it if you don't understand us. I can barely understand. Well, everybody's looking at American English. We speak American English. Yeah, 20,000 words is the same shit. Freedom's all you got, but I will. But we speak American English. We speak American English. Yeah, fuck it if you don't understand them. Well, I can barely understand.
I hope that my American English isn't too broken from this cold right now. If you could see me recording this, I'm constantly stopping and starting, and I hope the episode isn't too choppy because I'm not going to re-record it. I don't have it in me right now. I don't want to get this out. But anyways, if you'd like to ruin American porter or start dabbling in porters, a good base recipe to start with is going to be 7 pounds 2-row. And I'll speak slowly here so that you can write it down if you'd like. Let me start over. 7 pounds of 2-row, 2 pounds of Munich 20, 1 pound of chocolate malt, and 1/2 pound of Crystal 60. You're going to want to mash that at 153. When I brew dark beers, I like to go a little longer than an hour to make sure that conversion really happens. And what you can run into is if you use enzymes, or iodine, to make sure the enzymes did their job, it's going to be hard to see in dark wort sometimes. So a little extra time doesn't hurt. Just a nice protocol to make sure you get your full conversion. Obviously, gravity checks as well. Crude oil gravity checks. But add about 30 IBUs worth of hops. I like to add Williamette at the 30-minute mark. This is vague, so I can't really give you an exact quantity because I would have to know your alpha acids of your hops. Williamette changes a little. If you would like help with developing that recipe and figure out where your hops need to be and how much, all that good stuff, just message me at social media. I'll tell you how to find that here in a little bit. I'm happy to help. But yeah, just use something like Beersmith and 30 IBUs worth of hops, which you're shooting for. Pitch a pack of US05 and package at 2.3 volumes of CO2, or condition with enough priming sugar to hit 2.3 volumes of CO2. But it's, like I said, it's a simple recipe, and if you'd like to really dial that in, or would like me to really help you dial that in, just shoot me a message on social media and I'll be glad to help. Yeah, breweries are taking a lot of liberties with porters, and a lot of them are really good. Peanut butter porters are a big thing right now. They're pretty tasty. And coffee porters have been doing well for a while now. And even though I was kind of knocking commercial porters earlier, they can take even a mediocre porter and do some fun things like, make it a peanut butter porter, or hit it with some cold brew coffee, things like that. And they can make those boring beers fun and tasty. I have a recipe I like to brew. It's a rye porter, and it has some late cascade additions, which, earlier I said that's not a good one for a porter, but, rye is really probably not a good ingredient either. But that's the beauty of home brewing. We can do that kind of stuff. It's a beer I really like, and everybody that I've let try it really liked it as well. It's definitely a crowd pleaser. But I can, like I said, I'd like to help you guys. If you want to dial in a recipe, get some advice, ask some questions, head over to hopheadhardware.com. On the sidebars, you'll see all the links to the different social media pages. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, most of your main social media platforms. You can also get me on Discord. We have the Hophead Hardware Homebrew Club. The link to that is at the website, and there's over 400 of us in there, and there's always somebody around that's happy to answer questions and talk beer. And we've got sports channels, food channels. We've got a great group of people that just talk about anything and everything, but it's all centered around craft beer and homebrewing. And if you're listening to the podcast on the Anchor FM app, you can call in through that. I'll get a voice clip, and I can even include it in the episode. If you do call in with a voice clip and you don't want to possibly be in an episode, just tell me that in the clip and your voice won't be heard. So don't worry about that. And you can also just call and say, hey, you're an idiot. I enjoyed the episode. I like tacos. Fishing's fun. NASCAR sucks. You know, just whatever's on your mind. But until next time, cheers. This will be the last episode on this, you know, mediocre mic. The nicer one will be here before the next one shows up. And hopefully we can get the production value of this thing up. But see you guys later. Thanks for listening to the Hophead Hardware Homebrew Podcast. Be sure to visit us at hopheadhardware.com.